latest on the Chilean miners' situation. So the last of 33 Chilean miners trapped for more than 2 months in the collapsed mine was finally rescued this morning, our time, after a long and arduous recovery effort. This crisis has transformed Chile as a nation, as we heard last night, and has served as a rallying point for all Chileans. But what happens to the 33 men now? Clearly, there are physical and psychological issues that these men will have to work through. But inevitably, what sort of media deals can they expect? How long will their fame last? To discuss the seemingly endless opportunities on the horizon for these miners, please welcome CEO of the Harry M. Miller Group, Lauren Miller-Cilento. Lauren, thanks for joining us on Backlash.
Pleasure, thank you.
Who's likely to become the biggest star out of this?
Well, as I heard this morning, they actually seem to have made some pact together where it was sort of all, you know, all united as the 33 men. But we know that the media organically pluck out their heroes. There's, you know, for me, the foreman, Louis, is truly, I mean, what a hero he is. They all are, but, you know, he has a bigger story to tell, how he kept them motivated and calm and, you know, delegated as their leader. While they were underground for all that time. There's also the media are loving having a little go at the guy whose wife and ex-wife and girlfriend are also waiting to meet him as well. So there are definitely a few individuals getting highlighted, but apparently they have made, you know, a bit of a pact that they will act as one when it comes to, you know, any sort of financial negotiations to follow.
The story of Yoni Barrios and his wife or ex-wife and mistress, is that really a story? Is it just the media trying to make something out of a particular person or make a star out of somebody?
Well, I think it is. It's definitely a real story, but that's something that will have the shelf life for a few days. Maybe, and then and then people sort of move on. But I think that in terms of how long they will be remembered for, I think that, you know, this is a historical occasion. They will be sort of documented in history, you know, forever, in my view. The big media interest in individuals, just in terms of tabloid interest, will probably wane over the next sort of week or two, in my view.
So how does the process work from here? There must be hundreds of agents fighting over them.
Well, yeah, I'm not quite sure what the agent market is like in Chile, actually. But the most important thing is that if they are acting in a united way, and so that probably means that, you know, there might be one legal team that's looking after the lot of them, it's always important that all requests for all or one specific individual are all directed to one place. One post office, you might say, so that everything can sort of be put on the table and assessed and negotiated from there. But very important for it all to be directed to, you know, one office, basically. So I don't know if there are people sort of swarming around them. People are talking about Hollywood films and books and whatever. But until someone actually puts an offer on the table and, you know, and there a deal has been made.
It's all just speculation.
It's a pretty lengthy process, I can assure you.
Let's be crass and talk money for a moment. How much money is Louis Atzua going to be worth?
Well, I think that, you know, given the strength of the Aussie dollar, I think that the, you know, it really depends because, for example, if they're acting as a group and they're talking about, you know, the life stories of 33, you know, that's a massive investment. You know, you never know. That could be sort of deals into the millions of dollars that's shared for the story, the stories of all 33 or the rights to the life stories of all 33.
And that's on top of any compensation that they might be due.
Well, that's right. That's right. And I think that there's probably, you know, one legal team representing them all in terms of compensation. So it will be very, very interesting. But the other thing too is that what we see, especially in Australia now, is that a lot of journalists who are, you know, writing around the clock around stories like this, they get books up very quickly. And it's all based on what's been in the public domain. So when you come to sort of finding out, well, what's the book, I think that there'll be many. I mean, I was in the US a year ago when there were probably 20 Barack Obama books on the stand. So if you were going to make a film about Barack Obama, are you going to option all those 20 stories or are you going to try and go to the man in the centre of it? So it is very interesting. Certainly a degree of difficulty with that many people involved.
The fame does funny things to people in general. 33 people, in your opinion, what's the likelihood that they will actually stick together through this process?
I think it's going to be pretty rough. because keep in mind that, you know, you've just raised it yourself, you know, there are some health and, you know, going to be some mental health support that they'll all require. But keep in mind, given the global media attention, there's a huge level of expectation there too, and maybe not only just from them, but what about their families around them? You know, they have sort of endured something quite unique themselves, you know, over these months as well. So, you know, I think that kind of fame equals fortune is a very, very dangerous thing, and it might be, you know, it could be family members putting additional pressure on that process, you know, and that's what's going to be going to be tough for them to deal with.
That's a good segue into my next question. The world's been watching this story for quite some time now, you know, over 2 months. How do you as a manager help people like this negotiate that amount, well, firstly, that amount of media interest, but also the recovery process?
Well, the media interest sort of, you know, catches a light and spreads like wildfire. And I think that if there is new, you know, we'll see new stories emerging. There's no doubt about that. I think in terms of, you know, managing recovery, that, you know, the role of an agent, especially like work that we would do over the years in crisis media, is that you take the media pressure away from them so that that individual and their family can focus solely on their recovery. Because if a story is hot enough, that deal's not going to disappear in a few days. So, you know, the role of the agent is important in that sense to direct, again, as I say, one point of contact, all media contact them so that the family can have some time and address any, you know, health or anxiety issues associated with what they've been through.
Brent Webb and Todd Russell, the two survivors of the Beaconsfield mine collapse here in Tasmania, which is probably the closest thing we've seen in Australia to this particular event,
yep,
they disappeared off the scene fairly quickly. Realistically, what sort of life expectancy is this bright star going to have?
Well, I think it's about having, you know, they need to be allowed to get on with their lives too. And so, you know, unless there's sort of a new story, a new angle, the media, you know, tend to go a little cold. So, you know, I think one of the guys came out and said, you know, I'm not a TV star, I'm not a personality, I'm a miner, always have been, always will be. So it sounds like a lot of these guys are actually dedicated to the industry that they work in. So, you know, I think that not everybody would be sort of yearning for the spotlight either. So, but there needs to be new news. You know, if you're going to embark on, you know, a new project or something, then you've got something to talk about. You know, if you don't, well, you know, life goes on.
Fair enough. An incident like this in the US or even in Australia would clearly make a great movie. Are there any kind of limitations, do you think, caused by the language barrier in this instance, given that the entertainment industry largely is an English language industry?
Well, it might be for international media interviews, but I mean, we saw today, I mean, when the president was making his statement, he made his statement, and then he you know, offered some words in English as well. Keep in mind, any story can be, you know, adapted and put into English. It's just, you know, it's happening, it happens constantly. So I don't think that that's a barrier to any sort of, you know, international film being made. But how they would go about, you know, approaching it is, you know, for me as an agent, you know, and interested in film and television rights and options, it's fascinating.
President, you mentioned President Piñera there for a moment. He's become a bit of a superstar himself. Can we expect Harry M. Miller to be representing him shortly?
Well, Harry M. Miller has officially retired.
Oh, has he?
But okay. Lauren Miller-Salento will, look, he's an amazing, what an amazing leader. And as I think it's Jane Caro said on the morning show this morning, she said, you know, the big winner here as well is Chile. I mean, what an amazing, when Louis came up, the final miner came up and, you know, standing next to the president, they break into the national anthem. And I thought, God, as Australians, are we just unpatriotic slobs? I mean, you just can't see that happening here. It was just incredible. And he is, you know, he was standing there, you know, with his wife for the, you know, for that whole 24-odd hours as well. You know, didn't seem to move. So I think that putting a bit of global focus on him as a leader is really interesting as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he's done a great job. But I'm sure we'll keep a close eye on proceedings as they unfold. Lauren, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
That was Lauren Miller-Salento, the CEO of the Harry M. Miller Group.